Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique. The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We are broadcasting live from Nick's Place for our ESPN 97.5 crew. Thanks so much for having us out, huh? This is it's always my favorite time of year. Coming out here to Nick's Place, enjoying the listeners, enjoying the drink, enjoying you, Blankers.
Appreciate you, Jeremy.
I do that when I'm in the Christmas spirit. I enjoy you this time of year.
I'll
take that as about the only compliment I might get.
When do you enjoy me?
That's a great question. I mean,
I'm kidding. Don't answer that. Please don't answer that. 713-780-ESPN. Texter says, you do know that Notre Dame is only a 1.5-point dog. Yeah, hammer the dog. Hammer the dogs. Texter, just like Ohio State against Tennessee, the SEC will be exposed. See, I do think Ohio State's one of the best four teams in the country. I think Ohio State can win it all. I think that Oregon can win it all. Georgia I'm a little bit unsure about because of their quarterback situation with Beck. So I would have said three there, but with Beck, I'm on the fence, and I think Texas can win it all. I think those are the four teams that can win it all. Maybe even Arizona State. The Big 12 checks in the mail.
Arizona State's got to run the football, and even still, I don't put
them
in there.
They can, though. Scatabo's a stud.
He is good. I think you might have the national championship game, the winner of Oregon and Ohio State. But I think that if you're going to pick two other teams other than Oregon and Ohio State, to me, it's Georgia and Texas.
And look, I'm not an SEC stan. I usually hate the SEC. I usually talk badly about the SEC. But I also have to present it from like a factual point of view and where I stand. Like, it was dumb to me that SMU got picked over Alabama. And it's dumber to me today that SMU got picked over Alabama. Hey, BYU should have been in the mix over SMU.
SMU gave you nothing to show that they have any kind of resume to say they were deserving of being in that playoff.
Nothing.
They got their doors absolutely blown off, and they didn't even wait till the second half. I mean, from the word jump or kickoff, they were done.
But even before the college football playoff.
Yeah, that's like, one of those where.
What is their thing?
I don't agree with Kirk Herbstreit, and I think he went way too far on the wins don't matter kind of aspect of it. But look, if you just look at on paper and on film, if you said neutral site, SMU or Alabama.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Look, I don't think that's how you should be deciding teams, though. Like, to get into the playoffs, is like, who wins on a neutral side. I think it should be resume-based. But SMU doesn't have the resume to me. The only thing that they had was wins. Every other metric was Alabama. I actually agree with Herbstreit to the point. Like, I do think that wins can be a little bit overrated. Like, if you win 10 games with the 150th strength of schedule, why is that greater than 9 wins with the 10th best strength of schedule? So, like, I do think that we overvalue wins a little bit too much when we look at it from that point of view. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Sorry about that. The Astros, they introduced Christian Walker today to the Houston media. I feel better about the Christian Walker signing today than I did when they signed him. And, look, I liked the Christian Walker move whenever they signed him. I especially liked the whole $60 million for 3 years, $20 million AAV. But have you seen these contracts that have been given out lately? Jock Peterson today signed a $18.5 million AAV deal to go to the Arlington Rangers, my bad. So Jock Peterson's making $18.5 million. I'm not even sure he can play the outfield anymore. I think he's a full-time DH that can only play against righties. Paul Goldschmidt, who maybe the Astros could have been interested in him if they're still going to sign an outfielder, he signed for $12.5 million. Carlos Santana got $12 million. So, like, those bargain first basemen and those bargain players that could have been an option for the Astros really weren't a bargain. If Goldschmidt's making 12.5, if Santana's making 12, the Yankees.
Oh, my
goodness. If Goldschmidt's making 12.5, if Santana's making 12, if Jock Peterson's making 18.5, I like Christian Walker at $20 million way more today than I did before the signing of those three other guys.
Yeah, you got yourself one hell of a bargain deal then, because that's ridiculous money. Like, I understand the pitching market and the Red Sox looking to spend and giving Walker Buehler a one-year, $20 million deal. You know, other first basemen that are way, way lesser than Christian Walker are getting that kind of money. You got yourself an even better deal, and Dana Brown, tip of the cap for that, because that's fantastic.
Look, and I could have entertained the conversation of Carlos Santana, Paul Goldschmidt at $6, $7 million if it meant that you get, like, a better caliber outfielder, right? Like, Paul Goldschmidt or Carlos Santana plus the outfielder, is that greater than Christian Walker? But once you throw out $12, $12.5 million, that eliminates that conversation. So I feel better today about the Walker signing than I did whenever I actually liked it whenever they signed him. Now, the caveat that I will have here, the one provision I will have here, if the Astros don't sign a legit right fielder, I will not be happy. And I say specifically the right fielder.
My apprehension is the fact that they don't want to go over the tax. They don't want to get into the tax threshold again. That they're going to be apprehensive about it. Crane's probably not going to want to do it. So I hope that they do, because I agree with you. Like, I've been adamant about the fact I don't want an outfield, a starting outfield that involves both Chaz and Jake. But when I look at it, I hope that they learn their lesson in the fact that once they did what they did and it didn't work with Abreu at first base, I don't want guys on the downside of their career that you're hoping find at least one or two more good years. Stay away from Goldschmidt. Stay away from Arenado. Stay away from guys that look like they're well past their best years, and go for guys that seem to still have a lot left in the tank that could get you on a shorter deal, the same kind of returns or better than what you have. And that's why I like the signing.
Yeah. I mean, if you get Goldschmidt or Santana for a year and they're like a platoon option and you get them for a third of the contract.
Right, if they get them for
cheap
money.
It starts to make some sense. But when you're talking about it being over, it's not even half the contract. Is Santana at 12, Goldschmidt at 12 and a half, Walker at 20? Like, it does make it look like a better bargain today than it did at the time. Now that you see Santana sign, now that you see Goldschmidt sign. Now the Astros do lose the compensation picks, and I don't love that. Second rounder, fifth rounder. Dana Brown also, when he met with the media today, he said they're not done yet with the offseason. He mentioned they could add a bullpen arm, which is a little surprising to me, and also a left-handed bat. That left-handed bat better be able to play right field, Blakers. Better be able to play right field.
This is, yeah. Look, I think you're right. I hope that regardless of what he says and the fact that they're not done, it's either a trade or it's some quote-unquote creative, because he said we're going to be creative this offseason. Get creative as you must be, whether it be oil paintings or color by numbers. Be as creative as you need to be to find me an outfield bat, preferably, like you said, a left-handed bat that can play a corner outfield position.
No, not corner.
I know you just want right. I just need another outfielder that makes sure that I don't have to see Jake and Chaz in the same starting lineup.
Well, Jake and Chaz are still going to be the same lineup.
I think Chaz starts in center, and I don't even want to see that.
I don't mind Chaz in left and Jake in center.
If it's Chaz of 2 years ago.
Right, sure. But what I'm fearful of is those two guys in the same lineup and noodle arm Chaz McCormick trying to go throw runners out that are going first to third. If Chaz McCormick plays in right field, your defense has major issues. But it can get by in left field. You can't get by with his arm in right.
No, I agree. But look, ideally it would be a left-handed hitting right fielder. That'd be fantastic. But at this point, if you can get as creative as you want to be, so that you can find me a way to give me two other outfield options, that'd be wonderful. Because I don't really like the platoon option of Chaz and Dubon and occasionally Yordan in left field. But right field's got to be addressed first.
Yeah. Like, I can't have Chaz McCormick playing right field. Can't have it. Christian Walker said that Josh Hader and Lance McCullers talked to him in his recruitment to the Houston Astros. Look at Lance McCullers just moving mountains to make this team better.
Well, look, we've made a lot of progress with Lance over the last week or two. We've got him out of uniform, full uniform, when throwing to let us know that he's making advancements towards coming back. We got him throwing off a mound again. We got him still supporting his team. I mean, what more can you ask for from Lance at this point in the season? Because, you know, normally it's that there's going to be a lockout or something that's going to keep his personnel away from him, which is going to prevent him from being ready on time. Just be ready on time to show me you can still pitch.
Yeah. I see Toto Arlington's passing you notes.
It's like old school high school.
Check
He's
yes
passing
or no.
notes hoping that they get airtime. Like, first it's Astros are going to finish in third place in the division. Now it's, now that we have too many outfielders, do you want Adolis? Is that with or without the vitamins?
I would take Adolis.
Oh.
If the Rangers paid his entire salary, I'd take it.
Look, he can still play, but he's also playing with enhancements.
He's playing with a what?
In his vitamins.
Yeah, there is. I'm not going to go there. I don't want to be sued for slander.
I said vitamins.
Yeah, I think we all know what you mean, though.
Right, but that's the point.
I think we all know what you
mean. That's the point. I didn't say it, but you know what I meant.
The Astros did have to DFA Greg Kessinger to make room
no,
on the roster.
No, say it isn't so. Look, the people are so upset.
Y'all don't like Greg Kessinger?
No. No.
Man, y'all are mean to Greg Kessinger.
50 Shades of Grey. Goodbye. No matter what color it is, we're done.
Who's
goodbye.
Gonna be, who's going to be your backup shortstop?
Mauricio Dubon.
Probably Shea Whitcomb. The Texans also waived Steven Sims.
We thought that was going to happen about 8 weeks.
You're never going to guess. You're never going to guess who claims Steven Sims today.
The Ravens.
Yeah.
They're trying to get their intel back.
The Baltimore Ravens claimed Steven Sims.
How about that?
The Houston Texans claimed Deontay Johnson. So the Texans basically traded Steven Sims for Deontay Johnson. That's a pretty good trade.
I'll take that.
I'll take that. Yeah. It's Nick Caserio.
That's a win.
Winning the day. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get into the best and worst Christmas gift you've ever gotten. And also, we'll talk about C.J. Stroud's performance. We'll grade C.J. Stroud as well. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place.
We just had a What Up H-Town How We Doing off we during
did.
The break.
Who did the first one?
Nick's Place.
I only heard CC.
Big C. Big oh. C, I dare I say, no offense, Blankers, dare I say, Big C, I think, did it better than you do it. I think he did. I think he does it. What do y'all think? Y'all think Big
no
C
blame,
is what
man.
I think so. I think so. I don't know. Queen B was.
Wait, Donna. As wannabe program director, are you saying that he did it better than me?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
That's why you're not the program director, Donna.
I.
CC, I heard yours. It wasn't bad.
CC didn't say the right words.
Doesn't matter. She had
didn't
the right.
Say the right words.
She had the right delivery.
No, she said like, "Hey, how we doing?" or whatever. No,
hey,
you didn't. No,
how
you
we
didn't.
Doing?
She didn't say. I know you didn't say how we doing. I think you said like, "How are you doing?" I think you did. Yeah, check the tape, Brian. Check the tape. You have been here longer than me. Yeah, you're right. That is true. I'm gonna bite my tongue before I say anything else. I don't want to get in trouble. Big C's was still better than yours, though.
I can see the holiday spirit's worn off. We're right back yeah. where we normally are.
Now,
fine.
Now she's mocking me, which is deserved. It is, and I tip my cap because I do sound very much like that. I really do. What is the best Christmas present, worst Christmas present you've ever gotten?
Oh, boy. Best Christmas present I got when I was a little kid was a drum set. And the problem was that I actually broke the skins on
this
it.
This was the worst?
No, that was the best. That was the best. I got in trouble at school a lot because I was always drumming with pencils on the desk. So my parents found one of those kids' drum sets, and I loved it for all of 5 minutes till I broke all the skins on it because I was pounding on the drums.
I'm sure your parents loved that.
Oh, yeah. At the time, they thought they were doing a solid and the right thing and would stop me from doing it at school. And then they realized how loud it was in our small little living room, and then they were pretty happy that I busted all the skins on it.
What was your worst one?
Man, I've said this before, and I'm not afraid to say it, and the Twitchers will have a blast with it. But when I was at college, my mom used to always send me, like, the pre-Christmas, like, Christmas box. And a lot of times it was, like, she made, you know, cookies or fudge or whatever, and then other things. And there, I got a – you know what a Dickie is?
No.
Yeah. honestly, it's a turtleneck without the actual rest of the sweater. It is – the worst gift anybody could get. And my mom thought, because I went to school in a cold weather city, she's like, well, you know, you always need a turtleneck, so you always keep your neck warm, so you could just get the turtleneck. I didn't realize that it was called the Dickie and that it came without the rest of the sweater.
It's unfortunate.
It was extremely unfortunate. And I that will always be the worst gift I ever got.
You were in college and you were complaining about your gifts?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
You're in college.
Boy, it's my mom. My mom sent, instead of sending me stuff I could really use and need, I got that, which I donated immediately. I'm never wearing that thing.
I feel like once you have any sort of, like, thought or, like, once you're out of the house, you should be appreciative of everything you get.
Not that. There's no chance.
I don't think I have one gift that was, like, one that I remember being greater than all the others. And my parents always treated me well. I don't remember a bad gift.
I loved the, when I was a little kid, the NFL pajamas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like with the teams?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, with the teams on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought those were cool.
Yeah, I don't, none really stick out to me. I can't believe you were complaining about Christmas gifts in college, though.
If you got that, would you be happy?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, well, there you go.
But I wouldn't complain about it. I think
my mom
and
I had a great enough relationship. I could tell her, Mom, that gift sucked.
Yeah.
I love the other stuff, but yeah, that's not going to, that
don't,
sucks.
Don't do this one again.
Yeah, ever. And I don't wish, don't do it for Dad or anybody else either, because that's awful.
Cousin Eddie was wearing one in Christmas Vacation while he was drinking out of the Moose Mug. Is that true? Did Cousin Eddie have a dickie on?
I think so.
Did he?
I think it's possible.
I'm not even.
Eddie was a little off, too, like my mom's judgment there.
I'm not sure exactly what this is, but I'm not going to Google this.
Seriously, like, all you have to do is think about the turtleneck of a sweater and then like a napkin on each side. So you like, so it had, so you're wearing like a V-neck sweater over
What's
it.
What's the purpose of it? To keep you warm?
To keep your neck warm.
Okay. And, you know, you're like playing, in the, you're
like
playing
in the
ball
winter.
In the cold. How, this wasn't resourceful
I'm not playing
for
ball
you?
In December. We're indoors in an
you
indoor
start
field house.
Like February, don't you?
We
February,
practice
March.
In December in a field house inside.
I mean, I'm sure you've had cold games.
Oh my God, yes. But I could wear a full turtleneck with sleeves.
I've called baseball games where it was snowing outside.
I played in them.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, Lake Superior. Lake Superior State.
Yeah, well, you should have been grateful of the dickie.
No, I had a wool sleeve, high necked undershirt.
If it was named something else, you'd have liked it, wouldn't you have?
No.
It's the name you didn't
No,
like.
I could never wear that thing. It was awful.
What'd you think of C.J. Stroud, his performance?
I thought it was less than. I mean, look, I still think there's always signs that show you that he's still, the franchise quarterback. He still has got all the tools. He still can make all the throws. But the first interception was terrible. The second jump pass interception was terrible. I thought that what really got stuck in my craw later in the game was he self-inflicted a 5-yard sack by basically, instead of throwing it away, stepped out of bounds 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and that was extremely costly. And then threw the pick right after that. That little sequence alone right there was like, dang, CJ, you just have to be better, and you got to be smarter. You know, we hear all these things about how smart he is with his X's and O's, how much he knows the playbook. Stepping out of bounds at a critical time in the game and putting it at 2nd and 15 as opposed to 2nd and 10, those 5 yards are extremely important, and you got to be better than that.
That series after they got it first and goal at the 10 might have been the worst 3 plays all year.
It was terrible.
Stroud stepping out of bounds, taking a 5-yard loss. The next one I think was a quick throwaway, and then I think it was even a sack or maybe another throwaway before they had to settle for the field goal. Bobby Slowick said it was the best he's played all year, C.J. Stroud.
What?
He said it was the best he played. Pro Football Focus actually had a really high grade on Stroud, too. I thought he played pretty well with some moments of not very good.
Yeah.
I was pretty pleased with Stroud for the most part, but there were some critical plays that they weren't good.
How about a critical play that turned out good that I don't really want to see ever again?
What's that?
When he's rolling to his right and he throws the ball with nothing on it that Schultz caught for a touchdown in the middle of the end
yeah,
zone.
But it was never a threat. Like, it was so open,
ooh,
though.
I kept looking, going, if that thing floated a little bit more, obviously the defenders had to cover some ground, but that was a duck.
I mean, there was no one around Schultz. When he got the ball, there was no one within 5 yards of him.
I'd go back and look at it. I think maybe 5 yards, maybe right on the cusp of 5 yards, but there were defensive backs that give him an extra second, they'd have been there.
The guy that was defending Schultz was flopping out of the back of the end zone.
That was an – I don't think the defensive – I think it caught the defensive back off guard, too, by the fact that that was such a duck.
I like that play. I thought that was him showing that he is a game maker or whatever he says, or a game changer, not a game manager. That he had that quote. I thought it was a good play. The first interception to me was tolerable. Great quarterback, Brock Osweiler. He once said that every interception is a different story, right? And I agree with that. Like, there's certain interceptions that aren't as punitive as other interceptions. And if you want to go to both extremes, you throw an interception that gets picked off and the guy steps out of bounds at the 1 yard line. That's kind of helpful,
like a,
actually.
Like a punt, yeah.
And not only is it like a punt, it's like an elite punt because now the other team starts at the one. The other extreme is you throw a pick six and you give the other team 6 points, right? So, like, that's your range between the worst interceptions in the world and the more tolerable interceptions in the world. The first interception was on a 3rd and 12.
Yeah.
Like, it was on a 3rd and 12, and it gave Kansas City the ball at the 34. Is that ideal? No. Do you want them to not throw the interception there? Sure. But whenever you're throwing it on 3rd and 12 and it gets picked off, oh, well. Like, if it's an incomplete pass, you're going to punt it to them anyways. Now you give them a little better extra field position. But the first interception to me was more tolerable. The second interception, not so much. Now, I do think the Tank Dell OPI kind of derailed that drive. But third and 20 from the Kansas City 40, under a minute in the half, and he's trying to force a ball in there. Like, try to take a check down, get a few yards, and try to kick a long field goal. And then Kansas City also got a field goal out of that. So the first interception to me was tolerable.
Yeah.
The second interception to me was not tolerable at all.
There was one that he threw into double coverage to Nico on a deep crosser that I thought he never should have thrown. He's just lucky that, you know, I think Nico maybe got a hand on it or someone got a hand on it. They weren't able to pick it. But on the second one, the second interception, the other thing that it looked like it was the exact same play, only instead of DeSchultz, they maybe had someone else in the slot. But it was derailed the first time by the delay. And they went right back to the same play, and then he jumped past it, and he got caught. It was like a basketball play where you say never get caught in the air passing the ball. He got caught in the air on a jump pass and just threw it right to the defender.
Yeah, that was atrocious. Like, that interception cannot happen. The first one, I'm willing to live with the first one. Like, it's third and long, trying to make a play happen in their territory. Like, that one, to me, was more like an arm punt than an interception. Now, he was late in the play clock a lot. You mentioned the delay, but, like, it felt like every play, they were under 5 seconds when they got the snap off. Like, maybe it's a slowing thing getting the play in, but the quarterback as the conductor of the offense needs to get the team out of the huddle. Like, they're so late in the snap count or in the play clock. Like, that cannot happen.
If Patterson is truly better than Juice and he gets you into what you're going, then CJ's got to start shouldering the blame on that, because there were multiple times throughout the game that they got so late in the play clock that they got the delay of game multiple times. They actually had to rush to basically get the playoff in the nick of time, and maybe they got it off a little late and the official let it slide. But it's still an issue for this team, and it hasn't been corrected. And here we are, two games from the start of the playoffs.
Yeah, you gotta get into your play quicker. That was something that I had as a negative. The two interceptions, both negatives. One less tolerable than the other. The positives I had was actually the touchdown to Schultz. I thought that was him being a game changer, not a game manager. And I actually thought he was good on third downs.
He was good on
third
downs.
7 for 13 on third downs. They were converting those at a very high level. I was pleased with his third down production.
I was too, because you think about it. There were a couple of the outs, one to Hutchinson that where he made the diving catch, a couple to Tank, and then the in the slot play to Tank where it was third and like 15 to 20. And the announcers were saying just how slim of a chance that they have of completing these kind of plays and getting the first down. And Tank takes it in the slot and goes for the first down. And you're like, yeah, take that. That shows you what this offense can be and do when they are clicking on all cylinders.
That's what they were doing a lot of last year, was converting those third downs, keeping the drives alive, which has not been their strong suit this year. Texter was delay of game immediately after the self-sack. I give the refs an F. And then Texas not being able to stop the dump-off short passes was so annoying. See, I was actually jealous of their Kansas City short passes, because you see the Texans trying to set up these screens, and then you see Kansas City, these quick short passes that are gaining 10 yards a chunk.
It's the setup and the formation that you use to get what you got, and Kansas City showed why Andy Reid is a genius with offensive play calling, because the set looked differently, because a lot of times it was almost disguised whether he was going to do it or not, whereas the Texans ran the same play. Take a step to a step and a half off the line of scrimmage, catch the quick shoot from CJ, and then try and make something happen. And the defenders were blowing it up. The D-backs were all over it. And they saw it coming out of the formation, out of the huddle, and going, oh, we know what this could possibly be. Whereas the disguise that Andy Reid used multiple times was very helpful.
Yeah, someone's texting earlier about, remember the touchdown worthy where they knew that the Texans were in a zone?
Yep.
But they were motioning prior to that play, and they were able to recognize based on their motion that the Texans were a man or a zone. So that's kind of worrisome, I guess, going forward. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Tony the Handsome on Twitch says Stroud made some great throws. Alex said fire Bobby for saying that it was Stroud's best game of the year. 713-780-ESPN. Oh, what'd you make of him crying, by the way? CJ Stroud.
We talked about it a little bit. Look, I understand that it's your best friend and you can show emotion. How long the emotion was there, how many guys it took to console him, was extremely worrisome to me, because I need my quarterback to be my quarterback, and I need him to come right back and make sure that this team stays focused and maybe uses it as motivation to go back even with more to try and win this game. And I had deep concerns because of how emotional he got, if he was going to actually be worth a darn the rest of the game because of how emotional he was.
Yeah, I believe real men cry, Blankers.
You cry.
But real men cry. That's what I like to see from my quarterback.
I can tell you. So, quick story about my youngest.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do
not a man, but.
No, my youngest, Madison, we do the whole Elf on a Shelf thing.
Sure. Same.
And we know that we use it sometimes. I use it with them. Like, you're going to lose a gift, or I'm going to talk to the elf if you keep acting this way.
Yeah.
And so they've been pouting a lot, especially with Lisa. And I'm like, if you don't stop pouting between now and Christmas, every time something doesn't go your way, you're going to be in trouble. And she started to pout. And I go, Madison, that's pouting right there. And she goes, no tears, no water, not pouting. And I went, for a five-year-old, that was exceptional.
That's a pretty
good
rebuttal.
That was really well played.
Yeah, that's a good counter response. Yeah, but I think it shows great bravado to be able to put your emotions right in view of everybody. I think it shows toughness.
For how long?
However long it takes.
Really?
Who are we to judge?
So he could come out of the huddle still sniffling and
why not?
Sobbing?
If he leads me to a win.
That's the big if.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's give out our game balls from this past NFL week. Week 15 in the NFL. Who are you giving your game balls to? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Nick's Place. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Who are you giving your game balls to? 713-780-ESPN. Ocho says, I'll just say I would have handled the Tank injury differently than Stroud. Texter, I'm with Branham. Dude's crying over a teammate that's going through it. Only made me like him more. There you go. Difference of opinion for all of the above. All right, who are you giving your game balls to, Blankers?
I'm going to start with Jared Goff. 336, three touchdowns, a dominant effort yet again by Detroit. And as an extension of that, that play, you talk about creativity in the offensive play calling. That play in which Goff faked stumbling, Gibbs faked fumbling, the offensive line all yelled fumble, the defense bit on it, and they got an easy touchdown. That was genius. But the Lions continue to make up for injuries with stellar offensive play, and Jared Goff has been great.
Yeah, Jared Goff was very good in that game. Three touchdown performance. I thought Jameson Williams was good too.
Yeah, got him on a little deep ball.
Courtesy game ball. 5 for 143 and 1. He got called for a taunting penalty too. Dan Campbell had to have him had to give him a little talking to. I'll give my first game ball to Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor's been kind of quiet all year for Jonathan Taylor standards. He went off yesterday. We've been talking about how do the Colts win games, and they win games by not letting Anthony Richardson throw the ball. I think he was in the teens yesterday with passing attempts. They gave it to Jonathan Taylor, 29 touches, 218 yards, three touchdowns for Jonathan Taylor. He gets my first game ball. Brian?
My first game ball, and Jeremy's probably going to see this one coming a million miles away, but James Cook, 100 rushing yards on just 11 carries, three catches, two total touchdowns. Really could have a lot more, but I think Buffalo's saving him for the playoffs. They gave a lot of work to Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, but James Cook was explosive as he usually is.
It is interesting how much they're using Ty Johnson. Like, I've paid attention
to that. James Cook was barely on the field in the second half.
I think Ty Johnson had as many carries as James Cook.
He probably did.
Maybe it is a saving thing. But I don't know. It's kind of weird, like, the usage they have there in Buffalo with their running backs. Like, Cook gets all the production, but he's not on the field a ton, like you would think.
Yeah, no doubt. Cook had a big first half, did he not?
Yeah,
he had like a 60, 75-yard touchdown run and caught a touchdown pass, and then they basically iced him the rest of the game.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that he was getting nothing in the second half.
It's kind of weird. Who's your next game ball to, Blankers?
Look, I think Jaden Daniels is such a dynamic player. Yes, he had two picks, and they had turnovers. But the fact that he led a comeback in which he did it with his legs, he did it with his arm, his ability to be elusive and still make the right plays, the right reads, and make big plays, Jaden Daniels is impressive.
Yeah, five touchdowns in that game, ran for 81 yards. Very good. Very good rookie. Justin Jefferson, my next game ball. 10 for 144, two touchdowns for Jettis. Top receiver in the NFL?
Oh, I think he is. Him and Chase, it's probably. I probably go wrong.
I probably lean Chase.
Because of his physicality?
A little bigger.
I think there's no wrong answer, and I can understand either side of it. But boy, oh boy, those two guys are good.
That college offense was stupid. Stupid.
I mean, when you think
Jefferson,
about Burrow,
Chase, Burrow, they had a third receiver, too.
Oh, yeah.
Terrence Marshall?
Terrence Marshall, who was the second-round pick by the Panthers. I mean, Burrow had 60 touchdown passes that year.
Was Edwards Hilaire the running back?
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. First-round running
pick.
Back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Late first-round. Yeah.
First, what was it?
32nd by the Chiefs.
Reddick thought he was going to win the MVP his rookie year. Lewis Reddick.
Oh, Lewis Riddick was a big fan.
Said that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to win the MVP in his rookie
year. That's right.
All right, who's your next game ball to, Brian?
I'm going to give mine to Brock Bowers, who has now smashed its rookie tight end record for receptions. It was like 86. It was set just last year by Sam Laporta. Brock Bowers with his 11 for 99 is over 100 catches with 101 catches. With two games still to go, Brock Bowers is unguardable.
11 for 99 for Brock Bowers. I'm a big Brock Bowers fan. Love him. I got a lot of Brock Bowers stock, to be
honest.
He's
good. He's really good.
Next game, ball blinkers.
Chuba Hubbard, a win that they shouldn't have gotten, that they probably didn't need to get, but the Panthers beat the Cardinals in overtime. Chuba Hubbard, 152 yards rushing and two touchdowns.
You want him to embrace the suck?
Yes. There is a battle for the suck right now.
It's kind of weird, though, because like you want Bryce Young to be playing well because you want him to give you an answer if he could be your starting quarterback next year. So they're kind of in a tough spot.
Because you think about it, it just changed hands, right? Now the Giants have the number one pick. Otherwise,
it was
the Raiders.
The
Raiders, the Panthers, the Giants are all in it. Is there one other team
that's
in the mix?
No one wants Travis Hunter, just like his fiance doesn't want Travis
Hunter.
That
is a disaster. Did you see Dez chime in?
No, what did Dez say?
Oh, boy, you need to see Dez.
What did he say?
He gave Travis Hunter some life advice, and it was basically kicker to the curb. And he did it in a very specific, Dez way.
I think it's good advice.
You need to see the way he positioned it.
I think it's great advice by Dez Bryant. You gave Chuba. I'll give Lamar Jackson a game ball.
Yep.
Three passing touchdowns. DeMeco Ryans today said he thinks Lamar Jackson is easily the MVP. So, on one hand, it's high praise for Lamar Jackson. On the other hand, it's low praise of Josh Allen, who, remember earlier this year, after the Texans played the Bills, after they played the Lions, he said that Jared Goff was the best quarterback they've played to date.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that DeMeco Ryans thinks too highly of Josh Allen, if I'm reading between the lines.
I heard people, you know, it's funny because I heard the same people that said Josh Allen wrapped up the MVP last week were the same people putting Lamar back in the conversation based on yesterday. And it's like, come on, man, pick a side and stick with it. Because Lamar played really well, and he's staying true to his word that he said, coming off of their bye, that they are going to be even more focused. They're going to be looking to blow the doors off of people and win games. I think they're going to win the division.
That's how fickle sports media is, all these talking heads. Who's your next game ball to, Brian?
CeeDee Lamb of the We Should Have Picked Them Dallas Cowboys, but you guys outvoted me. Was 7 for 105 in the Cowboys win, who I think they've saved Mike Holmgren almost. But I think they saved their coach his job in Dallas. They've really played well over the last 5-6 weeks.
I think they might, too.
It is very scary that the writing seems to be, not in pencil, but the writing's on the wall that between Jura loving the outcome and the players coming to his defense, that somehow Mike McCarthy's going to save his job.
I think it might. Like, they're playing pretty well. Like, they've actually been playing pretty well these last few weeks.
Out of the last five?
Yeah. I think Cooper Rush deserved the game ball there, though. 292, touchdown. Cooper Rush playing some good ball. Will he unseat Dak Prescott? 713. I'm just kidding. All right, who's your next game ball to?
I don't know that my computer just locked. I don't know that I had any other ones that.
What do you got, a Dell?
Yeah.
I'll give one to.
I got the same computer you got. No, I do. I have an. Yeah, we both have Apple.
Yeah. Mine's not locked up, though.
Yeah, mine's froze.
I'll
give mine to Joe Burrow. 252 yards, three touchdowns for Joey Cole. I love Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow might be my.
Because you met him in an elevator once?
Yes, that's right.
Well, locked we didn't.
Eyes.
Didn't you lock eyes?
We locked eyes.
Yeah.
We didn't meet. We just locked eyes. We were. I mean, it was
soulmates.
Yeah,
it wasn't the same relationship as you had with AI.
No, AI and I actually talked.
That's
a little
what I'm
bit.
Saying. Yeah.
I didn't talk to Burrow. I was
you went deeper with AI.
I was tintillated, mesmerized by the eyes of one Joe Burrow. No, he's good, man. The play, that touchdown he had to Higgins, where he's like laying. He's not laying. He's flying through the air parallel with the ground. Superman throw. Burrow's good.
And
man.
He shared the wealth. He got everybody involved. Chase had one. Yep. Higgins had one, and I think the third receiver had one too. But yeah, he continues to play. Look, if they were a winning football team, he'd be in a conversation for MVP.
I think so.
He's having the best season, I think, of any quarterback in the league.
And a lot of people were worried they had that limp wrist. He wasn't going to be any good. Never doubt a guy with a limp wrist. Brian?
I'll give my next game ball to Devon Achane. He was huge for the Dolphins. I mean, they're obviously not going to be in the playoffs at this point, but 120 rushing yards, 70 receiving yards in a touchdown. Devon Achane is a fantastic player.
It was fourth-round pick 2 years ago, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Fourth round or third? I think it was fourth round. What a pick.
He's so good.
What a pick.
He's so dynamic.
The Dolphins know their type.
Yeah, they do. I really want the Texans to use a mid-round pick on a running back.
Wait, Mostert really just kind of fell off the planet, too.
He's like 32,
he got. Yeah, he got banged up early, has kind of fallen out of favor. He played a little bit yesterday, more than he had been. But, yeah, he's clearly behind Achan. Bijan Robinson, 22, 94 yards, two touchdowns, and then Kyren Williams.
Kyren Williams, was when my computer's back. But Kyren Williams was definitely on my list.
122 yards and a touchdown. All right, that does it for Game Balls. Time now for Car Wreck of the Day. What is your Car Wreck of the Day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees live from Nick's Place on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, we know that the holidays are going to be full of cheer and family, and maybe that's a little bit much for you. You want to focus more on some of the sporting events that are going on over the holidays. You want to put some money down on them to make it more interesting and maybe make this a really holly jolly Christmas where you can make some cash. I always tell you to go to mybookie.ag. It's the place you ought to be if you want to put money down on sports, because if you're watching sports on TV, there's a better than average chance you can bet on it at mybookie.ag. And when you go to mybookie.ag right now, they're doing a 50% match on your first deposit. That means you put 100 in, there's going to be an extra 50 in your account instantly, and more money in your account means more games you can bet on and more chances that you can win. They also have a loyalty rewards program called MyBookie Plus. The more you play, the more that they're going to add up and move you up tiers in the rewards program with better offers and better promotions because of the fact that you're a loyal participant on mybookie.ag. Get the process started by using our promo code BET975. It's the only way to unlock all these bonuses and you can get into all that good stuff. For the holidays and for the entire season and year to come, get into mybookie.ag and do what I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag, and use our promo code BET975.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day.
What are you nominated for Car Wreck of the Day? 713-780-ESPN. Thanks so much, Nick Place, for having us out for the ESPN Christmas party. Fantastic time today, as always, here inside of Nick Place. Thanks to everybody for coming out tonight as well. All right, Car Wreck of the Day, what are you leading off with here, Blinkers?
Well, I'm going to lead off with this inner family rivalry, Shannon Sharp and Stephen A. versus Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler. Evidently, Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit, I don't know if they care, but I love the drama. They called out First Take for being critical and saying that Ryan Day is going to lose his job if he doesn't win the Natty. And Stephen A. was diplomatic, complimentary of them, and said, it wasn't the show that said it, I said it. And then Shannon came in and basically said, say it again and see what happens.
I saw that with Shannon. I didn't know what Herbstreit and Fowler said. Shannon was like, I'm going to be a team player, do all this, and then in like 10
only
seconds
because
later,
of what Stephen A. said. He was going to come in guns blazing.
But it wasn't even his take?
But Stephen A. says it was just his take, but Shannon basically said there weren't enough higher-ups at ESPN to stop him if he has to come at them if it happens again.
Huh, that's interesting.
You like the drama.
Yeah, but I don't like ESPN morning shows.
I know, well, so then there you could be on Team Herbstreit and Fowler, dare him to say it again.
Herbstreit annoys me a little bit.
He, you know what? He annoys me more than a little bit.
Eh, why is that?
Because I like the way he calls games.
Yeah, same.
But the more you get into, like, even on Twitter, he's been very, very, like, harsh to people that were just, like, innocent people asking him questions and such, that you can feel a little bit of what that Columbus radio guy was talking about. Like, he's got a little attitude of talking down to you all the time.
I think he's a little pretentious.
Yeah.
I think he's a little pretentious. I'm going to nominate C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Got ejected for two unsportsmanlike penalties in the game yesterday, which is fine. I mean, I like guys that are play hard and play tough. But he was he gave the double birds.
Double rods, yeah.
The double rods as he left the field. So C.J. Gardner-Johnson, my nomination for Car Wreck of the Day. Brian, what you got?
I'm going to nominate anyone who willingly participates in eggnog chugging contests like they do in the morning show. Like, you will never catch me in an eggnog chugging contest. First of all, because eggnog is disgusting. But the idea of drinking it for sport and then obviously puking it everywhere, no, hard pass.
See, I wouldn't do it, but I like that others do.
Exactly.
It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I like
would
that others
so, Joel,
take enjoyment.
Would you do it?
I'm not doing any of that.
Yeah, see, exactly. All right, we're free.
But I'm not. I mean, I'm not dumb enough, and no prizes worthy of. Huh? Did you see the offensive lineman challenge?
That was fun.
On pavement, dudes are like face planting and
Yeah. That's still curtain defense though. Still curtain defense.
Remember the onside kick one?
Yeah. Did they do that this year?
I don't think they did it this year. No, they didn't do it this year. But in the parking lot in Klein's,
I do remember that.
That would get aggressive.
That was awesome. That's very good. No, I don't think it's a car wreck of the day worthy nominee. I enjoy the eggnog competition. I would also not participate in it, but I also wouldn't say that they're dumb for participating in it. Blankers.
It depends on the prize, Jeremy. You got to choose the risk versus the reward. If the reward is the diamond earrings, okay, and you want to get them for your wife, go get it. If that's the intensity you want to bring. But if it's for like a gift card, no, I'm not doing it.
The prize is my entertainment.
It's not worth it, Jeremy.
Yeah, it is worth it.
I don't care about your entertainment.
If it is worth it for three people I do not know to entertain me by chugging eggnog. Do you like eggnog?
I'm not a big fan.
I'm not a big eggnog guy either.
Nope.
Hey, that's the other
pass.
Part of that. Alex wants to nominate Total Arlington for passing notes during the show.
Total Arlington, you just got nominated for Car Wreck for your stupid school passing notes. Way to go.
Got nominated for Car Wreck of the Day for passing notes. Ocho wants to nominate Travis Hunter after finding out his girlfriend was on video dancing with another man at a party.
Yeah. It was number one, except we already talked about it on my list of nominations. Travis and his fiance and the whole thing, it's too late that they've now taken themselves off of social media. The damage is done, and everybody is looking for you.
Key from L.A. wants to nominate us. He said he told us at the beginning of the season that the 49ers will not make the playoffs, and we both laughed at him, and he kept the receipts.
Don't remember it.
Think about it, though. Like, okay, congratulations, Key from L.A. You were right, because San Francisco had one of the worst seasons ever when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, seriously.
That's why you were right.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah,
Clap for you. Happy holidays.
Way to predict the injuries of Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, that dude that wouldn't go back into the game. Wasn't Bosa out for a little bit?
Yeah, Bosa's missed multiple games.
Yeah, so I guess congratulations on calling that correctly, Keith from L.A. Any others you want to nominate?
Yeah, Mark Sanchez was doing a game for Fox. And instead of calling for the official in the booth to give them the breakdown, he called for Gene Steratore from another network instead of Dean Blandino and Mike Pereira. And his partner called him out on the air for it. Adam Amin.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was funny to listen to, for sure.
He goes, what did he say? He goes, we like our guys, Blandino and who is Pereira. He goes, and Adam Amin goes, we like Pereira and Blandino.
It was very amusing.
He said Steratore. What a mess up that was. All right, what wins here?
I think the Herb Street Fowler and Stephen A. Shannon thing's pretty messy.
Not the Travis Hunter thing with the fiance?
Yeah, Travis Hunter, that's good.
What do you think, Brian?
Travis Hunter works.
All right, congratulations, Travis Hunter. He wins the Heisman and he wins Car Wreck of the Day. Not too far from that. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work at Gal. He's Blank on Branham. We'll talk to you next week, Houston. Merry Christmas,
everybody.
Thanks again to Nick's Place. So long, everybody.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.